What we do here is go back, 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 back.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Bare Knuckles Most Wanted. I am your host this evening. My name is Matthew Kohler, along with my co-host and partner in crime, Matt Seibel, right up there. And guys, we are joined this evening by two of the heavy hitters, so to speak, in the bare knuckle world. We have Mr. Mike Mr. Mel Valenzuela and Mr. Mike Vasquez, who are the Mike is the owner of BYB, and you of course have Mr. Mel, who is the matchmaker for BYB. And man, I'm so excited to have you guys on here. Thank you so much for joining us. How are y'all doing tonight?
Good.
Good.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, appreciate you having us on.
Guys, it's an honor and a pleasure even to speak with y'all. So we love having you guys on here. And I've got so many questions for you guys. So, and I also have a little bit of a surprise that you're going to learn about here in just a moment. I want to start with for Mike, what inspired you to get involved in the world of bare knuckle?
I had come from NASCAR world. I started working with NASCAR back in 1999 to create the NASCAR Mexico series, was heavily involved in that over the years. And as I had just come out of that project in about 2013-14, was looking for something to do, and I'm always hopping from one thing to another. I have a company that's steady doing other things, but when 5 o'clock comes around and everything closes down, I look for other stuff to keep me busy, I guess, a little ADD. But anyways, I have a associate who had worked with Pitbull, was part of the team Pitbull, the music, the celebrity, the singer. And he was friends with Dada 5000. And he came to me in 2014 and told me about Dada 5000 in the backyard. I was familiar with some of the footage, but I had never met Dada. And had explained the scenario that things were shutting down the backyard. State of Florida was shutting down the backyard, and they wanted to take it, legit. So that's where I came in. I wanted to meet Dada, see what it was all about, see what kind of person, if we had a potential working relationship. And I met Dada. I thought he was great. I really believed in everything. Just needed to find a way to make this legal, which involved either getting it sanctioned by a state or doing it on native reservations where their sovereign land. And that's what we did. And our first meeting, literally, we met at Monty's on the bay here in Coconut Grove. We had plates of shrimp and conch fritters and whatnot. And we drew out our logo. We drew out our ring right there in our first meeting. We made a lot of progress, and it all started there.
Man, to be a fly on the wall in that conversation, like, I would pay so much money. Like, to me, that's history in the making. You guys understand that, like, y'all are making history. Like, this is history in the making. So, and I'm a history guy. I'm a history buff, and I love history. So my next question is the same to Mel. Like, Mel, like, I know who you are, right? And I know that you've been involved in matchmaking and in the highest levels of combat sports. And so what a guy like you, what interest, what was the initial interest in and what got you involved in the sport of bare knuckle now?
So first of all, again, thanks for having me and Mike here. It's an honor to talk to you guys. So as you know, due to COVID, 2020 was shot. The last event I ever worked was December of 2019. You know, went into the COVID situation and everything stopped. All of us, I think, I can't remember when. The only bare knuckle show that I've ever really watched was Lobov and Malignaggi. That was my first taste of bare knuckle. Lo and behold, I think it was Mike January or December. I received a call from Mike,
mm-hmm.
and asked if I was interested in you know, matching bare knuckle. And I explained to him that I never had even thought about it, but I think it's natural progression, right? Doing boxing and MMA, that bare knuckle just come. You know, it came smoothly. It wasn't a rough transition. First show or two we did were a little rough because we had limited inventory as far as fighters. But now, off of, you know, our last couple of shows, boy, we've really gotten things going. And here we are, you know, getting ready for us at 9/11, which should be our biggest show yet.
Matthew,
is he frozen there?
I think he's frozen. So, have you guys ran into any hiccups as far as the show coming up, and have you overcome those?
No, I mean, you know, fortunately, over hiccups has been the whole 2020. You know, we had a great show in March of 2020, right before COVID, or as COVID was coming out. And then just along with everybody else, we're not, you know, playing the victims here, because everybody else, a lot of other series actually shut down in their entirety. We did have a few events and we tried to work through COVID, and, you know, it's a terrible financial strain to do that when you can't have the audience or whatnot. But, you know, once you start building something and you have commitments to people and to fighters, and you want to keep it going. So we had a few events. We actually sped up this year. We've been having an event every 2 months, just about. And then we're going to have this fight September 11th here at Miami. It's going to be the championship fight, Jomi against White Boy. 10 other great fights on the card as well. And then we're actually going to take a couple months in the fall now to plan 2022 and 2023. Which are our priority now, is taking the next step. The company, we build it on foundations. You know, we poured the slab, and now we're building the tie beams, you know, and we'll get to those trusses, and it's all step by step. So we're looking at taking another big step, like we did from last year to this year, from this year to next year. So we're excited about that.
Awesome. We also do have a fighter in the audience, Andrew Toppin. I don't know if you're aware of him, but he's going to be fighting for Toe the Line.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a question for you. Why should a fighter fight for BYB?
Well, you know, as far as the series, as far as people, the way we work, you know, we're very, we believe in our fighters. We support our fighters. Any fighter that's fought for us, past or present, will tell you that. You know, we're very supportive. Even you know, a guy like Matt Delanoit, who just announced his retirement this week, you know, we're behind him 100%. We told him, hey, if you have that itch and you want to come back and take on and do that rematch with White Boy, if he beats Jomi, or if you want to fight Jomi if he beats White Boy for the belt, I promised you that. And if you have that itch, you know, it's there for you. But if not, man, I just want what's best for you, your family. And congratulations, you know, on your history, your record, and on making that tough decision. So, you know, besides treating our fighters like family, you know, we I've heard a lot of stories. Even this weekend, apparently there was an issue at the big fight that we're doing overseas. Fighters not getting paid, or people asking their checks to be held 4 weeks, 5 weeks. You know, I've heard all kinds of stuff like that. No, we pay our fighters. I mean, they fight on fight day. They get paid. They get paid their show money when they weigh in. They get paid their bonuses on fight night when their bonuses happen. Fight of the night, knockout of the night, all that stuff. So we treat our fighters well, and we know we can't do it without them. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about the company. It's about everybody, and that's what we try to show people.
Well, a little plug for tomorrow. We are having some of the guys from that promotion on our podcast to hopefully get some full disclosure on what actually the situation was. And
so let me chime in with your question, because I think it's an important one. I've worked for many promoters, and I got to say, Mike is got to be one of the guys that really puts the fighters first, right? We take care of our fighters. We listen to our fighters. Fighters can call me anytime. I'm now a counselor too, just a matchmaker, but I field calls all the time. We don't, if we can help, we don't say no to any requests. You know, we try to accommodate, because we know that without the fighters that we wouldn't be here, and you guys wouldn't be here, and everything, you know, it all rolls downhill. Right. 100%. So it's super important that we treat our fighters the way they should be treated, the way they deserve to be treated. And I think we're number one as far as the way we treat our, you know, fighters. We don't bounce checks. And let me clarify the boss here. I pay the fighters after their fight. I go to their corner, give it to the fighter of the corner, as well as their bonuses if they get a bonus. Okay, we don't pay them after weigh-ins, Mike. Let me just get it. So let's just be clear. But you do find me, and I'll be giving them that check. We don't run away from it.
I give you the checks early in the week. So as far
he does.
Like, hey, you're like, hey, you got
the money's not in the bank either. That's the other part.
Right.
Right.
No.
And you got to work before you get paid, bro. Like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we're trying to streamline things. We're trying to get, you know, closer to boxing and the way things are done in the boxing world. From the weights to the 3-minute rounds to everything else, we're streamlining things. And we're not looking sideways or behind us. We're looking forward, and we're blazing our own trail.
100%. And listen, I've had personal conversations on the phone with both of you two gentlemen on separate occasions and around separate issues, right? And I will just say that our conversations have been professional. They've been efficient. And we get straight to the point, and we get the business done that we need to do. Like, Andrew Toppin, I can't speak for these guys. Andrew Toppin is a friend of the show. He's a friend of mine personally, and he's a bare knuckle fighter, an aspiring bare knuckle fighter who has yet to make his professional debut. But he's very talented. He's a cool young man. What makes BYB to go to promotion is just that, is that I can have a professional conversation that doesn't feel like a business meeting, and that's what you get from Mike and Mel. Like, you get a conversation with a real person that feels what you're feeling, and they're not fake, and they're not going to lie to you, and like, it's just a real it's a real conversation. I think that in the business world, not even just in the fight business, but in general in the business world, like, that's kind of a tough thing to find. Like, you don't,
because it's not about us, brother. It's not about us. I mean, you don't see Mike up there in the ring after every fight trying to show his face or anything like that. That's not who we are.
Thank God.
Right.
That's not who we are.
That's what I'm saying. It's like the classic 90s, Suge Knight being like, if you don't want the producer all in your videos, and like, you know, like,
good analogy, you know, like, right?
No, that's what it is. Like, and nothing against anybody, like, no disrespect to anybody. It's just two different philosophies, but like, I love that philosophy where it's about the fighter. And I obviously, and as you know, Mel, I work in fighter management. I manage a number of
yes,
high level professional fighters, and it's never it that conversation is never about me.
It's
right.
You'll like Mel said, you know, and you touched on it. It's about being efficient. Any business has to be efficient, right? There can't be any fluff. You got to be efficient. You got to get it done. Yeah, sure. Once you become a Fortune 500, you can add a little fluff. You can buy the corporate jet, you know, too. But as you're building, you have to be efficient. And being efficient really is about putting the product out there. In our case, our product is our ring, the ring design. It's the fighters that we have. It's the personalities. It's the action that we push with our fights, with our confrontational ring. It's not about me. Yeah, we put Gotta out there. He has the history, the credentials, you know, the street fighting and whatnot. But it really is about the fighters. And we try to give fighters a chance to elevate themselves, right? So you'll see that in a lot of our stuff, we had fighters that are fighting for our championship that started in the original backyard, Jomi and White Boy. They were fighting in Dada's old backyard, you know, 10 years ago or whatnot. But we've given those guys a chance to develop along with other professional fighters in MMA. And they actually made it through the tournament and are going to face each other. You know, we have a guy now, Lorenzo Hood. He had a couple fights with us. He's now in the UFC contender thing. He's out in Vegas. He's elevating himself. So we give guys a chance to come in, make a name for themselves, develop like Gabriel Fryer. Young guy just had his first fight in BYB 6, coming back for BYB 7. He's talented, athletic. You know, guys like Isaiah, Pablo Caballero, Carlos Guerra, girls like Patty that came in out of nowhere, you know, with Christine. You know, so we're giving people an opportunity to develop and move up. And what I see in a lot of other places is that they're getting other people's old names and trying to, you know, to build off that. And I saw that many years in NASCAR, and I used to argue against that. You know, a new team would start up, and right away they'd go through the catalog of old drivers that have lost their seats, but they're a familiar name, so they want that name in the thing. Even though some young other driver could get that car around the racetrack faster, they wanted the familiarity because the sponsor's guest knew the person or whatnot, instead of giving a young guy a chance. And that's kind of what we're trying to do, is give people a chance to go up, not, you know, catching people as they're falling from other places.
Awesome. I think he froze again.
Huh?
Left him speechless.
I don't know what's going on with his internet today, but so. I know I've been told that actually Elvis is in the building.
Oh, there we go.
What's up, guys? I was watching the show. What's up? Oh, no, I was supposed to ask the question. Okay, Mike, we had episode 0 just a second ago. Yeah, it was just a partial episode. And Matt, I don't know if I took all his internet from him. I don't know what, because it did freeze up before the show, but it didn't freeze up after the show. But, Mike, I wanted to ask you, because I told him I'd ask the question. Mike, I see the fighters. I talk to fighters in all the organizations. They all, you know, they love that. You never hear anything bad about BYB. You've seen them. They go back and forth. They seem like they stay. Like the fighters out there, it's like they ask you all the time. And I already heard the question. Like what are you looking for? Like when y'all look at fighters, like what do you look for? They want to know, how can I fight in BYB? But what are y'all looking for? I know you said you're looking to, like, if they can get their pro license, are you willing to allow them to get in it, you know, or do they have to have whatever it is. They wanted me to ask.
The legal requirement, the technical requirement is that they have to have a national ID that Mel can fill you in more about it, and also a pro license. To get a pro license in the state of Florida, you need to have 5 amateur fights. Or have fought professionally somewhere else. We had a guy, Villar, who didn't have a license in the States, but he fought professionally, I think, in Thailand or somewhere, and he was able to obtain his license. So as far as the kind of personality, the kind of person, I mean, it really takes all types. I love to see a battle between a tactician and a brawler, and we're going to probably see that a little bit in the Sam Liera fight with Carl Jefferson. You know, where Sam looks to be a little bit more of a tactician. Carl seems like a tactician too, but he's got more of a little bit of a brawler, I think, in him. So that's going to be interesting to see how it works out. Jomi, same thing. Jomi's, you know, the tactician, the jabber, you know, a hit and move, and White Boy's just in your face, you know. So, you know, it's good to see two tacticians against two brawlers against, like we saw Matt Delanoy, and that was just lightning in a bottle. You know, Matt and Renee came at it, running at each other. You know, we couldn't make the ring small enough for those guys. They didn't need, but, you know, 3x3. They kept running at each other instead of away from each other. So, you know, so we're looking for, you know, guys and gals that just have that hunger that they want to compete. They want to show their stuff. You know, it doesn't matter if it's two, one way or another. The one thing that you will see, though, that we always try to make sure, and it's the best way to get fights exciting for the fans. It's also the best way for the fighters, for there to be safety among the fighters, is to put well-matched fights. We're not going to put in some underdog, you know, against somebody just because we're looking for a spectacular knockout, for the knockout reel. We're not going to
get to my heart,
to that's not ready for the spotlight just to get a result for somebody. We don't have an A side and a B side. All our fights, if you look at our cards, the blue corner and the red corner is literally almost down the middle at the end of the night. Who won what fights? Yeah. That's how well matched they are.
I'm amazed by the Jomi and White Boy fight.
Yeah,
he's back.
It's gonna be awesome. I'm back. I apologize, guys. My internet. I live out in the country, and I'm having some issues apparently. But listen, the matchmaking is super super key to having good fights. Like, because you know you want great fights, right? But you don't want a one-sided, like, just straight up ass whooping all the time. Like, and that may happen. But, like, you know, if you have a very inexperienced guy versus a super experienced guy, or if you have or girl, and you have like a you know, someone who has a super super decorated history of winning fights professionally versus a guy or girl who has a history of losing nearly all of their fights, and you put them together, it's not going to be a good fight. It's not going to be a good show. Like, you might have a highlight reel knockout, but also somebody might get hurt seriously.
Yeah. Well, that's part of my concern with some of these celebrity fights that you see that are going on and whatnot. Eventually, somebody's going to get hurt, you know. If somebody is not well matched, they don't have the experience. They've never taken a punch like that, or they just don't know how to stand, don't have the head work, or the head movement, or the footwork, or don't have the power to even defend themselves back, you know, because you can counter somebody's aggression by hitting them hard, you know. You see, you get hit in the face, you get hit in the mouth hard, and you're going to back up a little. You're not going to come in as hard. You're going to rethink things, you know, and that's what I used to mess with White Boy when he came back from retirement, that his first fight went the distance, and it looked like he was going to take the guy out in the first round. I said, until he got hit. And then he slowed down a little bit, and he respected the guy more, and it ended up being 100%. A decision fight. So, you know, if they don't have the power or the head movement or something to make it happen, why put it together just to get a knockout for the, you know, for your highlight reel? It's not that important.
And all that's great, except for when the result is that you have a guy or a girl in the ICU as a result of a bad matchup. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important to note, you know, and realistically, like, that could happen any time, you know, at any point, like in a bare knuckle fight, somebody could get seriously hurt. And we all know that. But like when that's the likely outcome, that's when it becomes a problem, you know. But all that is so negative. And I want to get away from the negative, and I want to highlight my
Debbie Downer.
You know, it's a that's not what I mean.
Can I ask a question? I just wanted to ask Mel how bad he hates the Astros. That's all I wanted to ask him. I see the Dodgers hat on, and I know he hates them. But can I get a "I hate them" on here?
I have no respect or love for cheating rats. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, there it is.
I hope they make it to the World Series, and we do too, because we owe them.
Look, I'll tell you what, that'll be amazing. That would be a Boo Bird show there.
Yeah. So, but let me talk about the matching real quick while we're on that subject.
Of course.
So I do look at what I put together. I don't slap fights together because safety is an issue for us. It's part of being fighter first, right? Watching out, looking out for a fighter's safety. I do look out. I do look at video. I don't just slap it together. Okay. Because you're on the blue side doesn't mean you're going to lose. People have that false sense that, hey, blue side, I'm the underdog. No, you're not. As Mike said, go look at our track record. We split down the middle. Sometimes I have to put you on the blue side because of corner, because of teams. Has nothing to do with what I feel or anything else. It's the teams. It's just the way, luck of the draw, right? And the last thing, fighters, right now, we have had so many inquiries, you know, to fight on our shows that we just don't have that, you know, that many spots yet. And we will next year once we start firing, you know, on all cylinders and going more often. So I don't want the fighters to be frustrated or take it personally that, you know, sometimes it takes a while to get back to them or to place them. I may call you at any moment. Just know that. But it helps when they contact me not to say, hey, I want to fight on your show, because that does nothing for you. Okay, your name, your box rec, your topology, your sure dog, any video, where you're from. That's what I need to see. You want to impress me? That's how you do it. That's how Jeff Shiffins did it. And look, he's on. This will be the third time on our show because he was organized. He had his shit together. He got me what I needed, right? Not just, hey, I want to fight. I've been in some bar brawls. I've been fighting since I was 8. I want to make some money.
Yeah.
Well, that does nothing for us.
Right.
That would have worked. That would have worked 10 years ago in the backyard for sure.
Right.
But,
nice. Not anymore.
The state of Florida has a little bit more of a hand in what goes down.
Well, I think that's an important distinction. You know, and two, I think that you know, one thing that I want to hear a little bit about is what. And this question goes specifically to Mike. What are some of the things that you are most excited about from the BYB Brawler Network? And that's why we have Cody on here, because obviously Cody is a big piece of that. And I happen to be blessed to be his Cody's co-host. And we're going to do a lot of cool stuff.
He had another title he told me, but I'll tell you later, I guess, off air.
Yeah.
Yeah, he told him that. No, he gets called that on the air. I just can't. It got him in trouble earlier when I was talking about a wet tee.
But I love the dynamic that you guys have, and I'm honored and blessed to be part of it. But like, what do you, Mike? What do you see from Cody and the team that we put, that Cody and I put together, and what's the future there of that piece of the business?
Well, listen. At the end of the day, you know, in life and in anything, we're but a speck of sand, right, in a big ocean. We never can take ourselves too seriously about anything, right? You know, we're here, we're gone. Here today, gone tomorrow. But so while we're here, you know, we like to have fun, and we like to enjoy ourselves and make every day matter and surround ourselves with people that we enjoy being around, right? And that's where the whole BYB, we're at the end of the day, we're entertainment. Yeah, we're a fight series. Yeah, we want the best man or woman to win, but we want to entertain fans. We want people to enjoy what's going on. And the same thing with everything we do. You know, if you weren't at our last show, but you'll see, we had nothing. We had just met prior to our show a few months ago. And we got along great. We had a good time. They, you know, had carte blanche treatment. They saw the ring. They saw the whole thing. Everybody had a great time. And that's what we're about. So when we're doing our podcast, you know, with a team like you guys and Cody, which love to have a good time, get serious. You guys talk business. You talk about the business. You entertain people. But we enjoy ourselves. We enjoy being around each other and just being simple, man. We're simple guys. We're you know, like everybody else. Like you said, some people say, "Oh, thanks for taking the time." And I was like, "Listen, yeah, I'm busy. I got a lot of stuff going on, but I'm never too busy not to respond to somebody or to, you know, be nice to somebody or to chit chat about, you know, something or or whatever. So that's just who we are, you know. Cody, we got along great when we met. Jay and Turp House Farms, great company. The products absolutely work. I got testimonials I can share. I got testimonials I can't share.
I know you do.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just a great group of guys, yeah. and it's all happened real quick, but we're excited about what the future holds and just getting more people involved and learning about what BYB is, learning about our ring. And that really, you know, Isaiah Quiñones calls himself the people's champ. I love that. And we're basically, the way I see it, we're the people's series. We're you know, what was it, for the people, by the people, or by the people, for the people, kind of mentality. That's what BYB is. We put it together to give people what I think they want as far as excitement, shorter, more exciting fights. You know, bang, bang, you know, and let the best man win. And we'll find out who wins by the results, you know, in the hands of the fighters, not the hands of the judges, you know, because you know how judges.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, if anybody knows that struggle, I mean, I can't say personally, but in the management world, like I have one fighter in particular who listen, this guy he's very high level. He's
who is it?
Well, who do you think it is? I mean, you know,
it's the Hillbilly Hammer. It's the Hillbilly
but there have been at least two and maybe three fights that one of my most prolific fighters has lost on a decision that he, in my opinion, should have won. You know, and I just don't like that, you know, and sometimes it's on the fighters, sometimes it's on the promotion, sometimes it's on the judges, sometimes it's on the commission, like it's on everybody, but I love the fact that you guys have, that the BYB has put together a platform to minimize possibility of that outcome of the decision. I think that's really, it's so good for the fighters, and you know, I just love everything that you guys do, you know, and I love the sport in general. That's really where my passion is, and I'm looking forward to working with you guys on a number of different levels, and I know that Cody is as well. We have so many fun and cool things coming up in the world of bare knuckle, and specifically with BYB. Like so I guess that's my next question.
You just shot your load on live air, man.
I know, but like I have so many things, but what I want to hear about, and to close this thing out, like we can start with Mel. And then after Mel, we can go with Mike. But like, to know what are some of the things that you are most excited about in this sport going forward here within, I would say, the next 6 months.
I'm really excited about the growth and the possibilities of bare knuckle. I've talked a lot to Mike to Goldberg, and we bounce this off each other that bare knuckle is much like MMA was 20 years ago.
Wow.
It's combat in its primordial sense, right? At the beginning, at the dawn of time, men and women were kicking the shit out of each other for that piece of meat.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, it's not about that piece of meat anymore, but it is about money. It's about notoriety, right? It's about, you know, having bragging rights. It's about different things to different fighters, but we're giving them, you know, that platform, and isn't in a very unique platform where you're not going to run around, you know, you're going to get in there and you're like, going to settle it, you
not
know,
one bit. Right.
Yeah. And rarely do you get, you know, five, let alone seven rounds like Patty and Christine, which was, I mean, violence at its most beautiful state, I think. I've never seen or been part of a fight that was so beautiful to watch, yet so gory, if that makes any kind of sense, right?
Perfect.
But just giving these guys and girls the platform. And I think with Mike at the helm and his style of leadership, I think by this time next year, man, we'll be talking about huge things. I really do, and I mean that from the bottom. And I'm looking forward to next year. And hopefully this COVID crap goes away and we're able to just motor in and do shows more often and show what we're really about. You know, we've got our team. I mean, Jesus, Malignaggi, you know, Bernstein and Goldberg as your announcers, Benny Ricardo, David Ryan, my God, Claudia Trejos, who's on board now with us. Is that a fucking all-star team or what? Just the announcers. You know, but that tells us, that tells the world that they believe in us. Because I don't want to be part of crap. If I didn't think BYB had any kind of, you know, future, I wouldn't have joined it.
Of course, like,
right.
And there are some people here who may not understand who you are. So like, can you tell us a little bit about your history? Because I know that you are like Mel Valenzuela is is a big stinking deal in the combat sports world, and that you have been a matchmaker for some of the biggest names in the business. So please tell us a little bit about your history. Right.
I mean, look, I appreciate the kind words, but it's never about me. It's about the fighters. But I have worked for Golden Boy. I have worked for – I was one of the founders of Combate America. I've done some stuff on Bellator, M1 Global. I've been at this for almost 12 years now. So I've learned a lot from different people, from Roberto Diaz of Golden Boy, who was my mentor, another guy named Whit Hayden, who's now with PBC. Just a ton of people that have showed me the way. And I'm just lucky and humble to be in this position where I get to work with people like Mike and Oscar and Roy and others that I've had the pleasure of working with. It's what I love. This is what I want to do. You know, this is my second career, and Mike and I have discussed it. In a few years, or if not next year, 2 years, I want to do this full time. Where this is, I leave the old Mel 9 to 5. And do this because this is what I love. This is where my passion is. You know, this is what I do. This is what I'm good at.
And I 100% agree. Like, I think that I know exactly who you are, and I've known Mel. I've known who you are for a significant amount of time. You know, anybody in the fight world that does not know who Mel is probably not on the right path. I'm just going to tell you that. And I think Mike can agree with me on that as well, which is why Mel is here, because Mike is looking for the upper echelon. He's looking to take this promotion to the next level, and that's why he's bringing on guys like Cody Travis. And for some reason, he's willing to work with a guy like me, you know, who.
You guys are A1 in what you do, and that's what we're looking for.
I appreciate it.
We're looking for a team. It's not just Mike, it's not just me or anyone else. It takes a village, and the UFC didn't start, you know, just one person. It was a group or any other promotion, right?
We're on the team, man, and we're honored to be there.
Look, I equate this when you have a new company or a startup or something like that. There's always two kinds of people that you are going to attract, right? There's two kinds of people. You're going to attract the people that see the same vision that you see, and that say, I want to be part of this. I'm gonna work. I'm gonna help. I'm gonna be part of this now because I see where it's going and I want to be part of that ride. Guys like Mike Goldberg, who's been through that before with UFC, and equates a lot of the history, a lot of the stuff that we're doing now to those early days, people like that. And then you have the other kind of person that you attract, which is I don't know how long this is going to last, so let me latch on, let me just try to milk it as long as I can. And you don't have their full heart, soul, or mind behind what they do. And those people usually will filter themselves out right away. If they even get an opportunity at all, but you usually will filter them out, and you can tell right away if they have their heart and soul. But everybody else that's part of our team, you know, they like Mel, you know, they enjoy doing it. You know, we enjoy being around the fighters. We enjoy the broadcast team, having guys like Mike Goldberg with Paulie Malignaggi, you know, now bringing Claudia Trejo, you know, Al Bernstein, who's worked with us in the past and will be on this next show as well. Benny Ricardo, who has done, I think, 4 or 5 shows with us already. Can't be on this one because he has a commitment with NFL football on the 12th of September. So we have a good crew of people that we've assembled, and we're, you know, creating new roles as we go along. And last show, you know, when we brought in Mike and Dave had done such a good job, we created the host desk instead of saying, well, Dave, we don't need you this episode. So we created the host desk. And then, you know, so we're just having fun, man. We're having fun making shows happen. I think putting together some good shows. We're going to put them on YouTube, continue to do the YouTube, get our product out to as many people as possible so they can see the ring, see what it's all about, and continue to grow. And man, we're happy that you're part of that.
Man, it's an honor and a pleasure because, honestly, like I've in the fight world, you know, you speak to promoters, you speak to fighters, you speak to, you know, all these people who are involved in every aspect of the world of fighting, and you just don't always get the real people, you know, like everyone always wants to put on a front, and the vibe that I get from BYB, the vibe that I get from Terpass Productions and Cody and everybody is that we're real people and we want to just do something, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's it to me is what excites me the most. And man, it is so cool to have you guys on here. I love BYB. I love what you guys represent and the promotion and the fact that we're all growing together. I think that's just such a neat thing. And Cody, you're my dude. Like Cody is my dude. He's been my dude for a while, and Cody Travis is a lot of fun, and he and I are going to do some cool stuff together, and we're just, I think I can speak for Cody when I say that it's an honor to be part of what you guys are doing because I see everything, man. Like I see every promotion. I run a I'm the CEO of a fight management company, and we have a number of fighters signed to our organization, and so I see every aspect. So I see the fight. I see the point of view of the fighter, and I hear about it. Trust me, and y'all know that I hear about it. I see the media side of it, and now you know. It's an interesting world that we live in, guys, and I've experienced just nearly every part of it. But you guys are some of the best of the business, and I think that if we can let Cody speak for just a moment before we wrap this thing up like a Christmas tree, in the words of David Potter, who's one of our business partners, Cody, tell me why you're here, and let's let that wrap up our show.
Oh, okay, cool, man. All right, so look, to be honest, you know, I'm a big sports fan, guys. I love all sports. You know, Bama's about to kick Miami's ass in a few weeks. You know, it's coming up.
Oh,
you know?
Lord.
So, I'm a big sports fan, right? And I look at everything as a sport. And you know, I looked at all the organizations, man. And you can see, you can talk to all the fighters. You can ask them, even the one that. The grass is not greener on the other side. You hear that saying all the time. For instance, I know for a fact there's multiple fighters at other organizations that want to come over. It's not because of the pay. It's not because of that. It's because of the atmosphere of what Mike, Mel, Dada. I mean, Dada is cool as shit too. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, my granddad, he told me one thing. You got to link up with people that are successful if you want to be successful. And I don't know, man. Mike's garage is more successful than most people's damn houses. You know what I'm saying? So that's one reason I just thank Mike and him. But also, I wanted to ask Mike, what kind of boat do you got, man? It's badass. And I see it all the time on Facebook.
Watching too. And like, you've got a nice boat, man. What do you got?
It's not huge. It's a nice boat. It's a 33 foot crown line.
Not huge,
but it pays. It right. Does what I needed to do. You know, I'm actually trying to get rid of it and get something that can go a little further in. Because it's great. It's got a little bedroom and bathroom and dining room and grill outside and all that stuff. But I want to go to the Bahamas, and I can only get to Bimini from here, from Miami on that boat. And I got to fill gas in Bimini to get back. So I need something with a couple hundred gallons, so I can go a little further, go out to Eleuthera. But that's what I love to do.
I got a canoe that you can take with you if you need to go a little further.
There you go. I grew up around the water, so I really enjoy it. And for me, I work. You know, long days, long weeks. You guys know I'm always around if you guys need me. And but every once in a while, there's nothing like just disconnecting, dropping anchor off an island somewhere, and just cutting loose for a day or two. And that's what I was doing this weekend. So I enjoyed it. I hustled back in time to make sure I didn't miss the podcast.
100%. And listen, I've seen some footage from your boat. Listen. We all aspire to have some of the things that you have, sir.
God's been good. God's been good. I can't complain. You know, hard work pays off. It's funny what they say: the harder work you work, the luckier you get.
I believe that's a quote from Benjamin Franklin himself.
Yeah, it might have been.
Yeah, no. Literally it is. But Mike and Mel, we love you guys. And you guys are an inspiration, and I'm looking forward to working with you guys personally, and getting to know y'all, and making our mark together, and building this damn thing into something cool. So, I'm honored to be a part of it. Mel Valenzuela, Mike Vasquez, Cody Travis, who is my esteemed partner in this venture. I love all you guys, and thank you so much for coming on the show tonight, and I look forward to what we're all going to do together and what we're going to build. It's going to be fun.
But thank love you, boss. Looking forward to it. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Matthew, Cody.
All and, you boys. Thank you.
UM's going to surprise you, Cody. You're going to shed some tears, not a joy this coming weeks. You watch.
I can tell you, it will. I think it'll be close until the fourth quarter. Bama just. I mean, it is what it is. It's Bama. You know what I'm saying. I'm a Dolphins fan.
Quarterback. Really. Hey, I bet you I'd shave my head, but they already got me a couple weeks ago with a bad haircut.
We'll think of something.
Here's what I gotta say to both of you. M-I-Z.
Back? Oh my God. you know what they're known for?
Was that USC? Was that USC you said?
M-I-Z, no. Baby.
Dude, you know they're only known for the show, The Ozarks, man. You know what I'm saying? Anyway.
I love it. Actually, I was on a call with a producer from that show earlier today about having one of my esteemed
Humble Brag,
who y'all know as the Hillbilly Hammer, possibly to be a character on the show in the next season. So
I know somebody that'll take you to the woods right now and do the show right now.
All right. We love y'all.
All right, guys.
Good talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mel. Thank you, Cody. We love y'all.
Thanks, guys.
This is Bare Knuckles' most wanted podcast. We're the best in the business. Good night.
What we do here is go back, 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 back.